Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. You're listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome to Bulletproof. This is Ari Fuld on Israel News Talk Radio, the weekly show where we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread online, offline, and across the universe. Big show coming on today. We're going to be talking about Iran. What does it mean? What's going on in Iran exactly? What does it mean? And what and if should the other Arab and Islamic regimes follow path on what is going on in Iran right now? What should the world do in the face of the Iranian demonstrations that are going on with the people right now? And we are also going to come back to Jerusalem. Israel has announced that they are building a light rail, a subway in Jerusalem, and the stop by the Western Wall will be called the Donald Trump stop. The left-wingers and the snowflakes are up in arms about this. What shall we do? How could you possibly name a station in the holy city of Jerusalem after Donald Trump? Of course, those same people have no problem giving radical Islamic terrorists control over the holy city of Jerusalem. When it comes to naming a bus stop, they're up in arms about that. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Trump effect in terms of what it means for Israel. We are going to be talking about a possible solution. This past weekend, I gave a speech to a bunch of students in Israel, and they asked, so what's your solution? What's your solution? Well, I'm going to talk to you with my first response to them, what I answered them when they asked me for my solution. And then together we punched some punches, politically, of course, and we actually came to some kind of idea. A solution which actually surprised, because I had one Muslim in the audience who I was talking with, and even she did agree with the solution that I came up with them together. We're going to be talking about the left-wing in Israel who are trying to bring down Israel as the Jewish country, as well as politically and in terms of land, giving the land away to our enemies. We're going to talk about what is the source of the total desire to commit suicide, I would even say. We're going to be talking about Arab members of Knesset. There are two or three Arab parties in the Israeli Knesset, and there are Arab members of the Israeli parliament who daily are working against the state, who are actually joining parties with those who want to destroy Israel. We got a lot to talk about today, and I definitely want you involved here. So hit that chat button on the right side on the top and ask any questions, or leave any comments you want in the live chat room. And I will, of course, try to answer them here live on Bulletproof. By the way, for those who are wondering, I'm broadcasting in the beautiful rolling hills of Judea, Israel. We'll be right back.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind.
Every Thursday.
Listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome back to Bulletproof. This is Ari Fuld on Israel News Talk Radio. You're listening to the weekly show where we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda. I want to remind you, listen to Israel News Talk Radio, the number one online Israel news radio station coming out of the beautiful land of Israel, where we give you the news, and no, we are not anti-Israel. All right, we got a lot of things to talk about today. First, I want to remind everyone that the phone lines are now open, especially if you disagree with me. I'd love to hear from you. The number in North America is 301-768-4841. That's 301-768-4841. If you are in the Holy Land, the number is 02-650-0151. That's 02-650-0151. All right, let's start the show off with Iran. It seems that the people in Iran are sick and tired of their radical Islamic genocidal psychopathic leadership and now are trying to fight for what they would want to call a free country. Now, before all of you jump down everyone's throat and say, oh, they're Muslim, they can't be free, they're Muslim, they don't believe in freedom, just hold on one second, all right? Iran, before the revolution, was a very, very modern country. Everything from fashion to academics, it was all there. It is true that the radical Islamic leaders and regime successfully somehow rewound the country approximately 1,000 years, where people become they're basically tyrants against their own people. And it seems that the nation has had enough. Now, again, you know, for us in the West, all the interaction we've had with Muslims in the West has been a little bit shaky, should I put it that way? So we don't really understand the little nuances between the different Islamic clans and countries and people around the Middle East. And they are different. They actually hate each other. Just for an example, of course, Iran and Iraq were fighting each other for years and murdering each other. Hundreds of thousands of people died in that war. So, no, they don't like each other. They, however, do have or had in the past or have now a common denominator called Israel. They all hate Israel. All the governments hate Israel, no matter how much they fought against each other. Again, ISIS is slaughtering their own people everywhere around the Middle East. But if they were fighting Israel, they'd get together to fight Israel, which we'll get to another show, what's the source of the Islamic regime's hatred of Israel. But right now, it seems that people in Iran are standing up, trying to get on their hind legs and fight their tyranny kind of regime, which are not offering them any rights. You have to remember, in Iran, if a woman walks in the street and, you know, her nose is uncovered, she gets beaten, okay? Obviously, there's no freedom and rights for women. Children are not exactly the most respected beings in the world. Again, whether I agree, obviously homosexuality is not something that I agree with on a moral level, but we're talking about a regime that is throwing people off roofs and murdering them in the street. Freedom of speech is non-existent. And the people are having a little bit sick and tired. And the only question to be asked is what took them so long. But the people seem to be sick and tired of their leadership, and they are trying to revolt against the leadership. Now, there are two parts to this issue. Number one, as a Jew, as an Israeli, as a human being, I stand with the people of Iran who want to throw their radical Islamic leadership out. I would not shed a tear if they killed them either. But the question is, should the world get involved? And my answer is 100% yes. Every westernized country should get involved. You know, what happens in the world, you have the left-wing liberal dingbats who are, you know, all about freedom and everybody's rights and they love going to the streets and demonstrating, da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, now the people in Iran are actually fighting. These tyrants are actually fighting their own leadership. And if the world stays out and says, well, it's not our business, then all that talk about protecting people and liberal and rights, it's all hot air. So, yes, I do think that all the westernized countries at least shouldn't get involved. But before the westernized countries, let's talk about Islamic regimes. Let's talk about Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about Iraq. Let's talk about Jordan, Egypt, Syria, and every other Arab and Islamic regime. The first, person that should be involved are their own brothers and sisters who are watching their own people being slaughtered. But again, the Arabs and the Muslims have never come to save the Arabs and Muslims. In fact, they murder, maim, kill, and disrespect each other. Israel is the perfect example. In 1948, when Jordan took over Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and Egypt took over the Gaza Strip, and Syria took over the Golan Heights, instead of developing a land and giving the Arabs here some kind of autonomy or some kind of small country, these Arab countries actually built refugee camps to put their brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in those refugee camps. They have no respect for each other. And, you know, this is what Mordechai Kedar said on Al Jazeera several weeks ago. He says, we don't want peace with you. We want nothing to do with you, Arabs. You don't have peace within each other. You're slaughtering each other. Why would we want to have anything to do with you? So, although we should demand of the Arab countries to get involved, they're not going to get involved. I do think that if Western society actually believes that we are holding up some kind of lamp of morality, of actually caring about the world, that we have a responsibility to help those people in Iran. To say, well, that was sort of a world war, what you're basically saying is the fact that there are two different cultures out there. There's the Muslim culture, radical Islamic culture, let's call it, who doesn't believe in freedom and rights for anyone. It doesn't believe in the value of life at all whatsoever. And so if America, France, England, and Russia, and everyone else got involved to help the people in Iran to free themselves of this radical Islamic terrorist organization leadership, and if we were nervous about Syria and everyone else getting involved in fighting the United States, it means that the other countries who would oppose all the Western countries getting involved in Iran to help the people free themselves, the other Arab or Muslim countries that would oppose that are actually part of that other culture which we have a problem with. So, yeah, we have a world war that is going eventually to break out. And not because anybody wants to, or because there's two opposing cultures, one that literally fight for the freedom and lives of people, and the other one actually worships and is proud of the death of people, their own people, not even talking about others. But I do think that the world should definitely get involved and free the people in Iran. The real problem is, what are people in Iran going to do afterwards, right? If they're going to – now, I will let you know a little secret, which I cannot publicize because their lives would be in danger. Over the last 2 weeks, I've had several Iranians get in touch with me. I've had several Arabs from different countries get in touch with me and talk to me about the fact that they've converted, not to Judaism, to Christianity, but they're doing it very quietly because they'd be killed where they were. I have 4 people who've called me in the last week and a half who are from those areas, and they said they are sick and tired. This is a quote of Islamic lies. They're sick and tired of the Islamic lies. Now, the truth of the matter is, none of us really know what the Iranian people are thinking. They don't have any freedom of speech. They don't have any voice. Now, on Twitter and on Facebook, we're starting to see the videos coming out from Iran. And so, yes, I do think the world has a moral responsibility to step in and help people to free themselves. The question is, what happens next? Do the people of Iran, do they develop a democracy? Do they develop a society and a culture that respects everyone, that understands the value of being part of the world, or not? And that's the real question. Will they continue in their hatred of the Jewish state or not? Will they admit truth over fabricated national claims of Arabs, call themselves Palestinians, in order to fight Israel? Or they say, listen, Arabs, enough. Saudi Arabia is hinting to doing that. The Prince of Saudi Arabia has hinted to do that already, and he's calling out the Palestinians right and left. And again, most Arab and Islamic regimes are not doing that. But the question is, where will the Iranian people stand afterwards? And again, that I unfortunately would not put my money that they would stand anywhere good. I wish they would. But I definitely think that that the world should get involved and help the people in Iran free themselves of the radical Islamic terrorist organization leadership in Iran. So I want to wish the people in Iran luck. And, I think that Israel can't get involved on face value, but certainly under the, you know, Israel definitely should get involved, but under the radar, obviously. But Israel has a big stake in this. I think that the Israel is threatened by the leadership of Iran and not by the people of Iran. So somehow, in a secret way that Israel always does, we should definitely get involved and take out whoever we have to take out over there who are leading the incitement against Israel. All right, I want to move on a little bit, and we're going to continue this in the next segment as well. I want to talk about a little experience that I had this weekend, the Shabbat. We had guests over in my area from the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America. They had a whole group of college university students who came, and they invited me to talk about politics and about Israel and about the army, so I did. And as I walked into the synagogue where I was talking, I was surprised to see a female there with a full hijab. So, again, I don't mind. I was just asking someone because the Zionist Organization of America is usually a Jewish organization, so I was asking what's the story. So this specific person, her mother apparently used to be Jewish, or is Jewish, and she's now an atheist. Her father is Catholic, Catholic, Jewish, one of those two, and she converted to Islam. And she was in the audience, which is, fine, no problem. We were talking, and after I completely destroyed, wiped out, deleted, wiped the slate clean of all the fabricated claims of the Arabs who call themselves Palestinians, she then turned to me and said, okay, well, what's your solution? And immediately, whenever someone says to me, what's my solution, I turn back with a very quick answer. And I say, well, what do you think the problem is? And she looked at me, what do you mean? I said, well, before I find a solution, you got to define the problem, right? You walk into a doctor's office, you say, my arm is hurting me. Let the doctors define out what the problem is. He doesn't start cutting off arms because the arm's hurting you. So I said that before we discuss the solution, we have to define the problem. Just a very quick, before I answer that question, I'm going to go back to the chat room. We have a question here. Do I think the world will help Iran and the people there because they haven't really helped Syria and Iraq and the Druze? So your question is a very good question, and my answer is no. I don't think the world will. I think the world should. I absolutely think the world should help Iran. But let's be honest, the world, especially in America and England, all in Western countries, France, the libertards and the left love screaming how much they want human rights for everyone. When it comes to actions, they do absolutely nothing. ISIS has been slaughtering hundreds of thousands of people across the Middle East. The UN hasn't even condemned them. So I really don't think that the world is going to come to Iran's rescue, although they should. And the fact they haven't helped Syria, Iraq, and the Druze and Yazidis in Iraq is really a horrific reflection on the world more than anything else. It's the same situation over again when the world kept silent, did nothing. When the Jews were being burnt and gassed in Germany, same thing is going up in the Arab world. The one small difference is the Muslims are the ones killing the Muslims. So that's the only difference in terms of situations. I definitely do think the world should. Will they? I doubt it highly. So I want to get back to what I was talking about. Before I do, I want to remind you, when you're listening to Ari Fold on Bulletproof on Israel News Talk Radio, the weekly show on every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, Discover, Expose, and Destroy Anti-Israel Propaganda. We're going to be right back after these messages. I'm going to give you what I said to this girl about the solution to the Arab-Israeli problem. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome back to Bulletproof. This is Ari Fuld. Before the break, we were talking about an experience that I had this past weekend, this Shabbat in my area, and I was talking about the group of the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, that came to my area, and it was a Muslim girl there who, after, again, I completely destroyed the entire Palestinian narrative from beginning to end. She had nothing to say. And again, she wasn't radical. She actually, I think, supports Israel a little bit, but she did seem to warm up to that whole idea of the Palestinians. And when I finished explaining to her why, and completely stripped any basis in reality and truth from the Palestinian narrative, she then looked at me and said, okay, so then what's your solution? And what I said to her was, before I talk about a solution, you got to define for me the problem. And of course, she said to me, well, the problem is land. And I said to her, well, if the problem is land, then between 1948 and 1967, when the Arabs had control of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Gaza, and the Golan Heights, it was all about those settlements. Well, between 1948 and 1967, there should have been peace. And there wasn't. Not only was peace missing, it was in those years when the Arabs had control over all of the quote-unquote disputed areas, all the areas that today they explain why they say that those are the areas that they're fighting for. When they had control of those areas, that is when the terrorist organization PLO actually was born, with the goal of destroying Israel. So I said, okay, so it's not a matter of land. So what is it? So then she said, well, it's the way they're being treated. I said, okay, well, let's go back to 1929 when there was no Israel and there was no occupation, there was no anything. They slaughtered Jews in Hebron. And ultra-Orthodox Jews who weren't necessarily Zionist. So what was the reason for that? So then she said, well, they have national aspirations. And I said to her, okay, well, then tell me where they were for 2,000 years. Where were they? Forget 2,000 years. Where were they for 400 years when the Ottomans, Arabs themselves were here? Why was there no Arab-Palestinian state then? Why when the British were here, was there no demand for an Arab-Palestinian state? Why was the first person to mention an Arab state in Palestine, not a Palestinian state, an Arab state in Palestine, was actually the UN? The Arabs never made a demand for a state called Palestine or at all before Israel existed. So where was their national aspirations then? So then she says, okay, I give up. Well, what's the problem? I said, oh, I'm so happy you asked. The problem, we have a culture war, okay? And this is the issue. If a female Muslim wanted to become a doctor in the Middle East, are her chances better in the Islamic regime or Israel? Your chances are better in Israel. To which she said back to me, well, there's Algeria. I said, yes, there is Algeria, true. But again, if you take the whole Middle East, if you take Israel, chances are better in Israel. There is a culture war going on. Explain this to her, right? And I said, the only solution is to take the responsibility of the leadership and law out of their leaders' hands. And she said, oh, so you want to take over all of the areas again? I looked her right in the face and I said, 100% yes. So she said to me, oh, you want to occupy them again? I said, listen to me very carefully. Your buzzwords, they don't bother me. They don't go, oh no, she said occupation. Now I have to calm down. They don't bother me at all. I said to her, because I actually care about life. I actually do believe that everybody has a right to live and be happy. right? So I said to her, look at what happened in Gaza. When Israel was controlling Gaza, the Arabs had jobs. They were working for a lot of the Jewish towns there, and they were making money, and they had freedom of movement in Gaza, and again, their life was a life. When we left, the population voted for Hamas, a radical Islamic terrorist organization that believes in the genocide and annihilation of the Jewish people. And who's suffering? Besides, the missiles, they're suffering in Gaza. Take the Judean scenario, for example. When Israel was in charge, I, myself, in 1991, used to walk through Bethlehem without a problem. There were 78% Christians in Bethlehem when Israel was in charge. The PA took over. Christian population has sunk to under 11%. I can't go in there without looking over my back now. So you can call it occupation all you want, but a decade after Oslo, okay? And a decade after Oslo, more people were murdered than 30 years of what you would call occupation that came before the Oslo Accords. So you can call it what you want, okay? I'm not into titles. I don't care what you call it. I don't care if you blow up balloons and send white doves out on the White House lawn. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't make me clap my hands and get up and stand the ovation and give them a Nobel Peace Prize. What is the Nobel Peace Prize worth that after you get the Nobel Peace Prize, more people are murdered by the deal that you made? So I said, Israel must take over every last centimeter. Gaza, Judea and Samaria, everywhere. Why? Because the only real hope for Arabs to have a normal life is if Israel is in control. Look around the Middle East. Where do Muslims have more freedom? In the Jewish state of Israel or in any of the Islamic regimes? You tell me. Where around the Middle East, any Islamic regimes, can you get up in the parliament and curse at the government without getting your head cut off? I mean, really. And the thing is, I said to her, with all due respect, your leaders from Syria to Iran to Iraq to Yemen, they're murdering your people and you don't care. You care more about saying to Israel, give us an independent state, which you never had before in history, than you're doing for standing up for your own people actually getting murdered by the hundreds of thousands of people. So yes, Israel's got to take over every last centimeter. We have to completely destroy the educational system that the PA and Hamas brought up because it is a rapidly bigoted, anti-Semitic, hate-filled, brainwashing factory where children are learning the value of murder and death instead of learning the value of life. And yes, we have to fix the roads and fix it, and we have to give them a normal life. And no, we are not giving them a state. There is absolutely no justification for creating a 23rd Arab state in the Middle East when we have only one Jewish state that is small in the size of New Jersey. The demand of Israel to cut up that tiny state where you can walk from east to west in 2 days and you can drive north to south in around 5 hours or 6 hours. There is no moral, historical, or ethical reason to ask Israel to split up a country that's tiny to create a 23rd Arab state when the entire Middle East is filled with Arab and Islamic regimes. They're not doing very well. Especially when the body that wants to govern that state actually calls for the destruction of the Jewish one or does not recognize the Jewish state. So no, I don't start my discussion by a two-state solution. A two-state solution is not the solution, it's part of the problem. It is accepting the Arab narrative that is totally fabricated and was created in order to justify murder and attacking Israel. No, you don't give into that. That is called giving into terrorists. Any Arab who wants to live wants to go home to his wife or wives, all right, get a job and live like a normal human being, get a kid education, welcome to Israel. You will become a resident of Israel. And no, you cannot become a civilian citizen right away because right now you have an ideology. Your whole national identity, the whole Palestinian national Arab identity created in 1964 was created with the stated goal to destroy the Jewish state. So no, you cannot hold on to that identity and expect me to say, oh yeah, let's make peace. I will not make peace with a identity and an entity that was created in order to destroy me. I'm not gonna make peace with Nazis and I'm not gonna make peace with Palestinians. Arabs I can make peace with, no problem. And no, I'm not gonna give you the right to vote so you can democratically do what you wish to do by force and war the years before. Now, there will be a track to get citizenship. The Arab who proves his loyalty to the Jewish state of Israel will have all rights and comfort in this country. And yes, will also be able to vote. And we have people, Arabs, in this country like that. We have the Muhammad Zuhabis. Okay, we have the Christians like that. We have the Netanyahu's, the Christians like that. They're very pro-Israel. I have no problem with them voting. Why? Because they have desire to destroy Israel. They actually love Israel, want to make Israel stronger. No problem making them citizenship. So immediately she says, oh, so you want an apartheid regime? I said, no, sweetie. An apartheid regime means you strip people's rights based on their race. Israel has Arabs, Christians, Muslims, atheists, and everybody else who are equal citizens in Israel. No law in Israel is different for citizens, whatever your religion or race you're coming from. Okay? So, no, it's not an apartheid regime. Okay? South Africa did not give people, based on the fact that they were colored black, rights. That's not the way Israel works. And by the way, if you're quoting the fact that they can't vote right away in apartheid, well, I hate to break it to you, but both with Hamas and with Fatah, they haven't had election in 12 years. So with all due respect, they'd be treated equally. They were treated much better under Israeli law. And the fact that they're not having elections, if you're so up in arms about that, well, where's the BDS movement against the Palestinians? Where's the BDS movement against Fatah and Hamas, who haven't given them democratic elections in 12 years? Right. So, in other words, when they don't give each other, when they don't give themselves elections, and they're killing themselves and throwing homosexuals off roofs by themselves and beating women who are going out not dressed the way they want them to dress, the world is silent. Right? It's Israel's fault. Right? They're doing it to themselves. Nobody says a word. Israel protects those rights and says, "Okay, I'm sorry, I can't give you the democratic tools to destroy Israel, so you will not be able to vote right away. You'll be resident with every other right in the world and be very comfortable and happy here." That they're up in arms about. Why? Because the anti-Israel crew are a bunch of hypocrites. They care about human rights like I care about the tea in China. They couldn't give a hoot about human rights. They can't even care less about Arabs, children, women, or anyone else. Because if they really cared for human life, if these anti-Israel left-wing dingbats actually cared for human life, they wouldn't be bashing Israel for returning fire to missile fire coming from Gaza. They would be up in arms and fighting Hamas and Fatah, who use women and children as PR pawns. And the harder the hurt and the worse they die, they're bigger PR pawns for Hamas. Hamas fires missiles from hospitals and schools and kindergartens. The left-wingers don't say a word. They don't even fight it. They don't care. Israel returns fire. How could you do that? Because, again, this is not about protecting someone. This is about bashing someone. This is not about protecting the rights of Arabs. This is about stripping the rights of Jews. And I'm one Jew who's sick of it. So with all due respect to all you left-wingers and liberals out there, you couldn't care less about human rights. I actually care about human rights. I actually want the Arabs to be able to live and be happy. And there's only one way to do that. They give up on their false national aspirations. We'll be right back. Don't move.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
You're listening to Bulletproof with Ari Fuld.
Welcome back to Bulletproof. It's Ari Fuld. We were just talking about the hypocrisy and the way that the left don't really care about human rights at all, and it's all about bashing Israel and protecting anyone else. And we're going to go on now because we have to turn inside Israel. And this is something that will be shocking to most of the people out there. Most of you will say to me, what in God's name is wrong with Israel? What in God's name is wrong with the government of Israel? This last segment might actually shock you. But before I talk about this last segment and tell you what we're talking about, and I promise you it's going to really make you fall off your chair, I want to welcome Larry to the show. Larry is online here on the show. Larry, are you here?
Yes, I'm here, and I hear you perfectly, Ari. I got a question for you.
Welcome to the show, Larry.
The fact that there are so many Jewish inhabitants that live in Iran and in Tehran specifically, doesn't that complicate the whole situation?
That's a good question. Number one, I don't know if there are so many. There are still some who live there. Again, I think they're in the same boat as everyone else. In other words, they don't have any freedoms there. They have to be very careful with what they do in Iran. You know, according to Islamic ideology and religion, anybody who's not a Muslim is dhimmi, and they have to pay an extra tax because they're not Muslim. I do think that obviously if the country's made into a free country, they'll be much better off. But I don't think that they can take active parts in the demonstrations. I think they have to actually hide in their homes. They will be slaughtered.
Well, I think they take a very low profile, and I think they have to. But it says something for the general environment there that they're still living there. You know, Iraq has, what, one or two? Yemen has zero. Syria, of course, has a few. Algeria, a few. But the fact that there's so many of them that are young, and they're always, people in Iran have always been kind of forward-looking and modern and everything.
Right,
I think they're probably, right now, they're at the forefront of this leadership in the Middle East where people have got a belly full of radical Islam. There are a lot of people in a lot of countries that want to get rid of it, and I think Iran may be right at the head of that, and I certainly hope we give them all the help we can.
I agree with you 100%. You have to remember, though, that before the revolution, Iran was a very modern and up-and-coming country. It was. The problem is it's been backed. It's been reversed for 1,000 years, for so many years. The question is, where are the minds today of the younger generation? In other words, let's say they get freedom. What do they do tomorrow? That's what I'm nervous about. In other words,
I'm nervous too. I certainly am. And I think the whole situation speaks for radical Islam and how bad it is. It's got to be a learning thing for everyone in the world watching it. It's time to dump it. You know, it just doesn't belong running the whole show.
Right. The real question is the world listening? In other words, to have them fires back
and think they're starting to.
Well, I hope so. I do hope so. And I agree with you that I think the world should get involved and help the people of Iran free themselves. Time will tell.
You know what? He hasn't said anything, but don't think President Trump hasn't got his eye on the situation, and a lot of people, including those in-laws of his, are keeping him well informed in this situation. I think we're going to see some change.
I certainly hope so. I think that, you know, I don't want Obama in the last 8 years, I think he had an opportunity to do this as well and didn't want to do it. I don't think he would have ever helped. I do hope that Trump has much more courage and less fear than Obama did. We'll see. Time will tell. I do hope that they'll be able to get out of this, and we'll see where the future comes for the Iranian people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, nice talking with you too, Ari. Good show today.
Pleasure. Thank you for calling in. All right, people, have a seat. Don't drink hot coffee right now. Be careful if you're driving, because I'm about to blow your mind. And I really would appreciate it if everyone right now would hit that share button and get your friends and family in. In Israel, there are three Arab political parties that are sitting in the Israeli parliament. Within those Arab political parties, there are Arabs members of the parliament, members of Knesset. One of the members of Knesset, his name is Ahmed Tibi. Ahmed Tibi, before he was in the Israeli Knesset, was the advisor to Yasser Arafat. Ahmed Tibi was the advisor to the father of all terrorists, a mass murderer, Yasser Arafat, who has blood dripping off his hands, off every other part of the limb of his body. And this man, Ahmed Tibi, was his advisor when Yasser Arafat was alive. Today, this same Muslim, radical Muslim, who time and time again shows support for what I would call terrorists, is sitting in the Israeli government. We have another one called Hanin Zoabi. Hanin Zoabi, if you remember the terror cruise, the Marmara, that tried to break into Gaza, was filled with terrorists and weapons. She was on the boat as well. She also sits in the Israeli parliament as a member of parliament, Israeli citizen, a Muslim Israeli citizen. And then we have another guy called Zahakra. He's another Muslim member of parliament who said on public TV that the Israeli flag is worse than a rag, and he would rather die than sing the national anthem. Now, again, there's freedom of speech, and, you know, that's fine. But we're talking about people who are constantly working against the state of Israel. But it doesn't end there, okay? According to the Israeli law, there are certain things that you have to believe in, and you are not allowed to work against in order to have a right to be elected to the Israeli parliament. One of those things is you may not support in any way, including speech, terrorism against the state of Israel. Ahmed Tibi went to Ramallah on the day where they were commemorating the death of Yasser Arafat. Hope he rots in hell. And they were commemorating his death. And Ahmed Tibi, the Israeli member of parliament, went to Ramallah to speak in Ramallah on that day. And what he said basically was he praises all the shahidim. He praises the thousands of people who were killed. And he said, this is his quote. It was in Hebrew, it was in Arabic, but I'm translating to English. His quote was, the shahidim, those who died, okay, their blood will be sketching out our freedom and our independence. He went there and 100% gave a backing to terrorists. And there's no what's and ifs and buts about this. He was also involved in demonstrations where there were terrorist organizations at the demonstrations. He travels around the world wearing a Palestinian flag bashing Israel. Okay? This is the man called Ahmed Tibi. He sits in the Knesset. Not only does he sit in the Israeli Knesset, he actually sometimes is in as a speaker of the House. Okay? What's even worse, there's another law. Okay? And the law is that nobody's allowed to cancel the Jewish character of the state of Israel. Ahmed Tibi has gone on public TV in Israel and says he does not accept Israel as a Jewish democratic state. Why is he in the government? Because Israel has a sickness called it's going to be okay. And instead of realizing the problems and the threats that we have, we just let him fly. All right, we have Rita on the line from Jerusalem. Awesome. From home, sweet home base. Rita, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Welcome to the show, Rita. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing really well. Thank you. My big question is, why is Israel its own worst enemy? Why do we allow these kind of people to be in our parliament? And what can we do to change it?
Well, Rita, that's a really fantastic question. I've struggled with this question often, and I really have. I actually meditated on the question, and I came to an answer. You know, we have been in exile as victims for so long. We have like a national Stockholm syndrome. We almost like being the victim. When we get strong, we're like, oh, we're sorry. Are we strong? Did we beat you? Oh, we apologize for winning the war. We're so sorry. We won't use excessive force. We'll allow you to kill us a little bit so the world will be fair. No other country in the world does that. I mean, when America gets attacked, they go all out and carpet bomb, right? France, England, same thing. England destroyed Dresden, tens of thousands of people with one bombing. Israel, when we win a war, we apologize. We have a national psychological Stockholm syndrome. And we really do have this problem. So we have these people in the Israeli parliament who literally are working against Israel. And we're like, oh, well, you know, we like to be free and give rights to people. So we have this issue. How could we stop it? Well, unfortunately, it's not going to come from the top. It has to come from the bottom. I've put out videos over the last couple of weeks on my Facebook page talking about people to write letters to parliament members, at least in the right, because the left don't care. The left actually like the Arabs in the Knesset. But the right, who seem to think that they care, write letters in. If there's enough pressure from the nation, they will do something about this. I actually don't have the money to do this, but I think somebody should go to the Supreme Court about this. There are basic laws in Israel that if you work in any way to cancel the Jewish character of the state of Israel, the Jewish democratic state of Israel, you cannot be elected to government. Ahmed Tibi has gotten on public TV and said he does not accept Israel as the Jewish democratic state. So what we have to do as citizens, we have to get together, we have to sign petitions, we have to send it to the courts and to the government, and maybe one of our politicians will have the guts to do something. I'm actually running for politics next election in the National Union Party. We'll see what happens, but that's what we have to do. It's you know, in Israel we say, you have a setter, right? It's going to be okay. Not going to be okay unless we make it okay. So that's really what we have to do.
Well, good. Well, I wish you all the best. I'll vote for you for sure.
I appreciate it. All right. Send me a message on Facebook. I already followed. If you're in Jerusalem, you should go get coffee sometime. All right,
okay, everyone.
Okay. Rita, thank you for calling in. All right, everyone, you're listening to Ari Fuld on Israel News Talk Radio on my show Bulletproof. I want to remind everyone, while the world is gaining up on Israel and soldiers getting slapped in the face, I'm working 24 hours a day to show support and love and appreciation to the men and women of the IDF who are on the front lines protecting Israel, putting their own lives on the line. It's the new year, secular new year, and what I'm asking everyone is, let's start this year off in a positive note. Join me On our website, www.stogether.org, that's www.s, like standing, stogether.org, donate to one of our campaigns. Let's start our year off with a bang. Show the IDF soldiers we're behind them. We have a lot of campaigns going to show love and support for IDF soldiers. Don't forget to share this show out on Facebook, Twitter, or anywhere else you are on the social media cyber world. Let people get the truth and the facts that are not given in the regular press channels. I want to thank everyone for tuning in every week. I really do appreciate it. If you're on the chat room, say hello. Let me know where you're tuning in from. And, of course, I will be back next Sunday, 5 p.m. Israel time. Wherever you are around the world, look up the times, 5 p.m. Israel time. And just to let everyone know, the really cool thing about this, I am broadcasting from the beautiful rolling hills of Judea, Israel. God bless everyone. Take care.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.